Good evening. Good to see everybody back out this evening. Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 7 if you want to. We'll start there this evening. Tonight I'd like us to consider the subject of doctrine, of sound doctrine. Why is doctrine important? What is sound doctrine? What is false doctrine? Is it important what doctrine we adhere to? Is it important that we adhere to a doctrine at all? Are there some in the world, not only in the world, in the religious realm, that believe that it's not important that we adhere to any kind of doctrine? We'll discuss that a little bit this evening as we go through this. But we want to discuss the importance of sound doctrine. First of all, we'll define what the word doctrine means. What is it? And according to Vines, the word doctrine denotes teaching, that which is taught. There in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 28, it says, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teachings." The King James Version there will say that the people were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished at what he taught. We'll look at a little bit more further than that, not only what he taught, but how he taught it. But his doctrine, if you will, his teaching. Doctrine could also mean the act of teaching or instruction. Mark chapter 4 and verse 2. Mark chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching." He said to them many things by parables and said to them in his doctrine, the King James Version will say. So doctrine here refers to the act of teaching. So that's basically what doctrine is. It's just that. It's the teaching, the act of teaching or instruction. It's the word doctrine. But in matters of religion, why is it so important? Why do we hear so much about it? Why is it the subject of so much conflict or debate? Why is it the subject of so many sermons that we hear? First thing we need to understand is that debate or conflict over doctrine is nothing new. Even in the days that Christ was living on earth, there was conflict or debate, if you will, over doctrine. Look at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, "Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue." It's talking about Jesus here. "He entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Again, the King James Version renders that. They were astonished at his doctrine. The things that Jesus taught, the way that he taught, caused them to be astonished. It caused debate. There were some that would accept it, some that would reject it, some didn't agree. Some were angered by it. Why? Verse 22, because he taught as one having authority. They were astonished not only by what he taught, but also in the way that he taught. The doctrine that Christ taught was different from those, or from what the people were used to hearing from the scribes and the religious leaders of that day. Jesus didn't rely on the knowledge, or he didn't refer to these other religious leaders when he taught. He taught on his own authority, by the authority of God. Look at verses 23 through 28. It says, "Now there is a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.' And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee." So the doctrine of Jesus from the very beginning stirred up debate. Jesus spoke with authority, didn't he? And it caused astonishment for those who witnessed him and what he taught. Back to Matthew chapter 7 that we read just a second ago. Back in verse 28. It says, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Again, the people, the multitudes, heard what he taught. They were amazed or astonished at what he taught, his doctrine. Again, the fact that he taught with authority. When you go back sometime, we can't do it, of course, all tonight, but go back beginning in chapter 5 in Matthew and go back and see what he taught, why they were so astonished at what he taught. Matthew 5 and verse 2 says, "Then he opened his mouth and he taught them." So there were teachings here that we have recorded for us. And we notice, again, one of the reasons that it caused so much astonishment is because of the authority that he taught with. Look at chapter 5 and verse 20. It says, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." It says, "For I say to you." Verse 21. "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Rock,' I shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hell fire." Again, "You have heard this, but now I say this." I say. He spoke with authority. Verse 26 says, "Assuredly, I say to you." Verse 27, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery,' but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Again, Jesus says, "You have heard this, but now I say this to you." Verse 31 says, "Furthermore, it has been said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason, except sexual immorality, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery." Again, I say to you. So we see the doctrine of Jesus in his teaching. The things that he taught, the way that he taught it, was taught with authority. And it caused debate. Again, there were those that would accept it, there are those that would not. Ultimately, it was his doctrine, the things that he taught, the fact that he taught that he was the way, the truth, and the life, that he taught that he was the Son. These teachings led to his death because there are simply those that sought to kill him for what he taught and for the way that he taught it and the authority that he taught it with. The teachings or doctrine that Jesus taught with came directly from God. Look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, "Afterward Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, 'See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you.' The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, 'My Father has been working until now, and I have been working.' Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel.'" So again, the teachings or doctrine that Jesus taught came directly from God. He didn't receive his teachings from the rabbis or the religious leaders of that day. He didn't get anything from them. Here it was upon the authority of God that he taught. And because, again, some of the leaders of that day wouldn't accept his doctrine, there were those that sought to kill him, according to verse 18. Flip over to John chapter 18. John chapter 18 and verse 19. John 18 and verse 19. This is after Jesus had been betrayed by Judas. He had been arrested, and here he is being questioned by the high priest. It says, "Then the high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, 'I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet. And in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said.' And when he said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, 'Do you answer the high priest like that?'" So again, upon Jesus' arrest, he was asked about his doctrine. And because the leaders of that day refused, ultimately he was to be crucified to fulfill the scripture. It was because of his doctrine, the way he taught, what he taught, the fact that they refused it, that ultimately led to his cruel death upon the cross. And I simply point this out. What does this have to do with the doctrine of today? And I hope it shows that conflict over doctrine is nothing new. It's nothing new. And hopefully the doctrine that Jesus taught can help us discern the difference between sound doctrine and false doctrine. We'll get into that just a little bit more here in just a second. By what authority is doctrine taught? What authority do we use when we teach? What authority did Jesus use when he taught? That's the key to this. By faith, we today believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. As Christians, we believe that, don't we? We have the assurance that he was because there were those who witnessed him after he was raised. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 32. It's Peter speaking. So this Jesus God has raised up, for which we were all witnesses. So there were witnesses of Jesus after the resurrection. There were those that ate with him, that drank with him, that conversed with Jesus after his resurrection. Look at John chapter 20. Verse 19, John chapter 20 and verse 19. It says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." Again, this is after he had died upon the cross, after he had been buried. He was resurrected. Now he shows himself here. They were witnesses to this. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24 and verse 46. It says, "Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things.'" Again, they were witnesses to this. And I point this out simply to show you that there were witnesses of a risen Jesus. And because there are those that bore witness of his resurrection, by faith we can believe that he truly was the Son of God. And based upon that, since we believe that he was the Son of God, we believe that the things that he taught, the way that he taught those things, all the things that he proclaimed are true. That his doctrine is of God. And so we believe that the doctrine of Jesus is sound, it is true, because it is of God and not of man. Likewise, we believe the teachings of the apostles are a sound doctrine because they were given to them not on their own merit, but by godly authority. Look at Matthew chapter 28. The things taught by the apostles were not their own. Matthew 28 and verse 18 says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" Again, they taught not based upon their own authority, but because of the authority that had been given to them. Good Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he had also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth.'" So again, they taught not based upon their own authority, but the authority that was given to them.